Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul's labour for the church. Now, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Thank you.
Thanks, Faye. If you could leave the Bible reading up on the screen, Amos, I'd appreciate that. Got a bit of a limp today. I went to a little athletics coaching clinic yesterday and I actually feel like I've torn my calf. I did it like in the warm-up session at the start of the day. So it's a bit embarrassing. But thank God we'll get new bodies one day, eh? Well, let's pray and ask God to help us understand this part of his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you speak to us in the scriptures. It's great to have your living word come to us by your spirit. We pray, Father, that your spirit would apply it to our hearts now and we'd actually be convicted by it and we'd be changed. We'd be brought to maturity, as Paul just said in your word in Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when the isolation and homeschooling period started a few months ago, as a family, we had no idea what we were staring down the barrel of. We have five kids and I was kind of thinking, okay, Kath can't work from home. She's doing teacher's aiding now. Somehow they're immune. They had to go to school. But I could work from home. And so I was thinking, okay, five kids at home, 24/7, possibly for months on end. How's this going to work out? It's only so long you can sort of lock the door and not connect with them. So I went off to Bunnings, just joking, yeah, that's good, you saw that. Went off to Bunnings to try to find some kind of backyard entertainment for them. And I found this reduced to clear $60 backyard ninja course. And it was basically, it's like a ratchet strap with different fittings that you kind of suspend across your yard and the kids can swing their way across it. And I thought to myself, this is the key to Australian Ninja Warrior success for my kids. It's like I can have a Ninja Warrior training school in the backyard. The only problem was when I got home, I realised I could Dynabolt one side to the wall. I've got Dynabolting skills, but there was nothing to put the other side of the strap on. And so I kind of, just my heart sunk. I thought, man, I can't do this. I actually tried to ratchet strap it to our paling fence. Don't tell my neighbour, but it started to crack. And so I thought, that's not going to work. It's still standing. But I didn't know what to do. Anyway, I mustered up the courage and I rang my brother-in-law and I said, I think I need to put a pole up in the backyard. He's a tradie and he gave me some instructions. And so I went to Bunnings and I got one of those $30 copper's logs poles, 3 metres long, and a $10 bag of rapid set cement. And I did it myself. Scary, right? For a 3 metre pole, he said, I've got to dig a metre into the ground. Into Kerwin clay. I've never mixed concrete in my life. You know, most of the holes I've dug have been in conversation. Now, here I was, prepared to do it so that my kids could fulfill their ninja potential. And you know what? If you're my Facebook friend, you'll know that about 8 blisters later, that pole is up. And you know what? The kids absolutely loved it for about a week. Now, I don't know what you've been willing to work hard for in your life, but in this part of Paul's letter to the Colossians today, he tells his readers that he's willing to work hard to get blisters, even to suffer in jail, to tell people about Jesus, because he wants them to to reach their full potential. And I think this is written here not just for him to kind of big note himself, but as a kind of example for us, a model for us, a challenge for us to use even our most strenuous efforts to show people Jesus. I find this really confronting because I've kind of carved out a pretty comfortable niche in my Christian faith. But this is quite a confronting passage. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 and we'll pick it up from verse 24. It's up on the screen, but I noticed as Faye did the perfect Bible reading before, we left a little bit off the end. So let's have a look at it. Paul was willing to work hard to tell people the gospel. That's really what the first part of this passage is about. Have a read from verse 24. Now, I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. So to be clear, Paul's suffering because he's been telling people about Jesus. And it's been kind of stirring up trouble because a lot of people haven't wanted to hear about Jesus. And when you stir up trouble in Rome in the first century AD, you end up finding yourself in prison. And so that's where Paul's found himself. But Paul says he rejoices in it. And he makes the strange statement in verse 24 that he fills up in his flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction. Now you read that and you think, oh, is there something lacking in the work that Jesus did on the cross that Paul has to somehow now go on and complete? Is there something lacking in what Jesus did that perhaps we have to kind of fill up? Well, let's be really clear. Paul's not saying that Jesus' suffering and death on the cross is insufficient to cover over our sin. In fact, Paul's the champion of the idea that Jesus' death on the cross was sufficient to cover over our sin. In himself, the worst of sinners, he's like, you know, Christ's death fully absolves me before God. What is he saying then? Well, what he's saying is that after Jesus died for sin and rose from the grave and ascended to heaven, there was still a work to do for the sake of the body of Christ, which is the church. Someone had to go and take the good news of what Jesus had achieved on the cross to the world. Someone had to take it to the Gentiles. The non-Jews, people like you and me. Someone had to kickstart the proclamation of the gospel. Paul says he's willing to fill up in his own flesh the suffering that is yet to be done in that work. That's what he's saying here. In verse 25, Paul says he's become the church's servant. I love the word servant because it's kind of, it's like associated with being a bond servant, a slave, right? It's the word deacon. We've made it a kind of bit more important today, haven't we, that word? But it's just a servant. His whole life is about serving Jesus. Verse 25 says it's about presenting to you the word of God in its fullness. Now he elaborates that because some of his readers are familiar with the word of God because the Jews have been doing a lot of work around this area. There are probably, you know, they reckon around 7,000 Jews in Colossae at this time in history. So they've probably heard bits of the Old Testament, maybe the Ten Commandments, maybe they've heard the food laws, maybe they've heard about the rituals, the Sabbath day, that sort of thing. But for Paul, presenting the fullness of the Word of God is far more than that. It means in verse 26, teaching people the mystery. What's the mystery? Well, the thing God's Word has been pointing to through the whole Old Testament and through all of history is the mystery. Paul's chosen to make known this mystery to the Gentiles even. What's the mystery that all of the scriptures have been pointing to? Well, he says in verse 27, as he finishes in verse 27, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery that's now been disclosed. That's what all of the scriptures are pointing to. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that even mean, Christ in you, the hope of glory? You know, you're in a Bible study group and sometimes your leader might say, put that in your own words. That's a hard one, isn't it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, Christ in you is the idea that Jews and Gentiles alike, all of us, even though we're sinners and we're hostile to God, if our faith is in Jesus, we can be washed clean. And just like the Spirit of God filled the temple in the Old Testament with the glory of God, when our faith is in Jesus, the fullness of God in Christ comes to live in us by his Spirit. That's a miracle. Christ in you. Christ in you, and now, right, Christ in you, but also in eternity. So Paul said, this is the message I preach. This is the fullness of the word of God, Christ in you now and the hope of glory forever. That's my message. Paul rejoices in suffering for this. It's worth his hard work. When I was a kid, I was fishing with my dad. I used to love fishing. I didn't get time anymore. I was about 20 metres off the side of the road on dusk. Always went down after school on the beautiful Clarence River when a four-wheel drive veered off the road across the dirt and hit our Ford Falcon. And our Ford Falcon then kind of spun around in the air and hit me. Now, in case you're anxious about it, I did survive. But our car didn't. And so we had to wait for a new car, and that meant waiting for the insurance to come through. And I think I was about 12 or 13 at the time, same age as like Billy or Fletcher. And I remember being at home a few weeks later and getting the insurance check in the mail and thinking to myself, this is awesome. And Mum said, why don't you run down and tell Dad the money's come in so he can go and pick up the car, because I was waiting at Eckersley's second-hand car sales for us. Anyway, so I got the check and I ran down the hill in January on bitumen with no shoes on to give the check to my dad. And I got some pretty bad blisters, which is a bit of a theme in my life. But I had some pretty good news. And I actually didn't even notice till the next day that I had these blisters on my feet, because I was so pumped about getting a new Ford Falcon. Paul here, he's got good news. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Better than a second-hand Falcon, right? And it's so good that he's prepared to suffer for it. I rejoice in suffering for it, he says. Now, Paul is obviously different to us. He's an apostle. He's seen the risen Lord Jesus with his own eyes. You know, he was actually commissioned by God to take the gospel to the Gentiles. None of us have had that. He's next level in terms of revealing Jesus to people. But I think there's a call in this for us. I think this is written so that we might work hard to follow his example, that we might have a good gospel work ethic, right? I know a lot of you here are hard workers, but are you hard gospel workers? We might even be prepared to suffer to present Jesus to people, to present the fullness of the word of God. I was thinking about how this would work out in my life, in my role as a preacher. It means I need to work hard on my talks, right? But not just to work hard on my talks so you go away. Because, you know, when you preach, people love getting loads of instructions in sermons. Like, you love it if I say, you've been doing a terrible job with looking at pornography, or you've been doing a terrible job at wasting your money on clothes. Go out of here and spend less money on clothes. You guys love that. You're like, okay, yeah, you're right. That'll help me get closer to heaven. It's easy to write sermons that take people away feeling guilty and like they should change something, right? But if you want to present people the fullness of the word of God, what do you need to teach them? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need to show people that despite their sin, through faith in Jesus, Christ is in you right now. Even if you do overshop, even if you do look at pornography, Christ is in you right now and you have the hope of glory. And it's easy not to bother preaching that because there are loads of parts of the Bible. The majority of it in the Old Testament doesn't explicitly mention Jesus. But Paul says, I work strenuously to present the full message to you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I need to work hard to do that as a preacher. That's what I've come away from this thinking. And you need to work hard as well as a listener in whatever church you go to. If your ministers or your preacher is not preaching to you Christ in you, the hope of glory, you've got to say, mate, work harder. We want you to preach to us the full message of the word of God, not bits and pieces. As a Bible study leader, it means I actually need to prepare. Must admit, I'm guilty of winging it. If you've done one Bible study, you've done them all. You just got to look. The answers are there, aren't they? You know, in the Bible. But if I want to actually be a hard gospel worker, if I want to have a good gospel ethic, I need to actually prepare. As a dad and as a husband, I should be willing to suffer to ensure my wife and kids have the message of the fullness of the word of God presented to them. And that might mean in the mornings, instead of me trying to sneak in a bit of a run before I go to work, that maybe I set aside that. Let my bad cholesterol outweigh my good cholesterol a bit more in order to present the Word of God in its fullness to my children. I think more than that, as a Christian brother, I should be willing to talk to you about Jesus. Sometimes after church, even you might say to me, "Oh, good sermon. I'm hardened to that message." I think that's just polite, right? But what I should actually say is, it's a great passage, isn't it? How do you find presenting Christ to people? And we should talk about the Word of God to each other, shouldn't we? No easier time than after church. But more than each other, I think this is calling us to be willing to suffer to present the message of Christ to our neighbours and our classmates and our colleagues, to be prepared to endure a bit of giggling behind our backs for raising Jesus with our mates, to be known as the weird Christian. Now, that's hardly imprisonment or being flogged, is it? It's not even blisters. But I think Paul wants our gospel work ethic to be like that. You picture yourself tomorrow sitting around having lunch with your classmates. If you're at school, picture that. Sitting around having lunch, and one of them says, "Man, how about those Victorians and the coronavirus?" And you go, "Yeah, it's full on, isn't it? God didn't make the world to be like this." You wouldn't do that, would you? If I was at high school, I wasn't a Christian in high school, so I never had to do that. But I would soil myself if I would. But that's what we're called to. Risk it, risk it in conversation. Every now and then I'll risk it. I'll actually think hard about how to bring Jesus into a conversation with somebody, and my heart will race at a million miles an hour, and I'll say that sentence, and it's so underwhelming. They don't punch me in the face. Worst case scenario, they go stony quiet. Risk it. Paul says, work hard to give people the hope of glory. I've become a servant of the body of Christ to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you a hard gospel worker? How's your ethic, your gospel work ethic? Well, in the last part of this passage, in verse 28, we see Paul works hard because he wants people to realise their potential. Have a look at what he says from verse 28. He, that is Christ, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Did you notice the "so that" in that sentence? So that. That's the start of a purpose clause, right? That's the point of the sentence. Paul says, Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that, and this is the point, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. The term "fully mature," it kind of means to the end you were made for. Complete, perfect, whole, fully grown, fully mature, ripe. Like a really nice mango. To your full potential. Paul works hard to tell people about Jesus because he wants them to appear before God on that final day like a ripe mango. Like the one you would pick. You go to the shops and you're picking them and you can smell them. And the good ones, they don't smell like they've turned. They smell perfect. And you're like, that is full. That's fully mature. That's what Paul wants to present us like before God. And so he works hard to tell people about Jesus. Paul knows what God made us to be like. He wants you to be the woman of God that God made you to be. He wants you to be the man of God that God made you to be. And so he works hard to that end. Paul says, I can see potential. I see what you could be. And so we proclaim Christ, admonishing, which means warning or instructing, and teaching everyone with all wisdom, actually thinking about what we're saying. Because when Paul and his mates look at their neighbours and their colleagues and their classmates, they see potential. They look around and they see potential everywhere. Unrealised, that can be realised if these people know about Jesus. They can have Christ in them, the hope of glory. Paul says in verse 29, which isn't on the screen, to this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Paul says, I work really hard for this, but you know what? I can't even take the credit for that because it's actually Christ working in me. I work hard for this with all the energy that Christ gives me to work hard for this so I can present people ripe, fully mature in Christ. My mate John is a good example of someone with a good gospel work ethic. He has worked hard for as long as I've known him because he sees potential in people. He just sees potential, you know. He doesn't look at the comments on Facebook or comments in the newspaper and think that guy's an idiot. He looks at and he sees potential. When I lived in Byron Bay, he seemed to use all his energy to present the message about Jesus to people. He started playing Oztag, even though he had a full-time job, to make connections with people. He specifically started for that purpose. He had a dodgy knee, but he wanted to play because he knew that would be a great way to build relationships. And he started inviting me to Oztag. And he talked to me in the car on the way from Byron to Mullumbimby about Jesus. Trapped me. I couldn't get out. He brought loads of books on the gospel to give to people like me. He actually had a supply of them in his bookshelf. He'd pick up hitchhikers, which was a thing back then, right? So he wasn't like Ivan Milat. That was just something people did around Byron Bay. And you know what he'd do? He'd say to them, oh, how are you going? You know, where are you from? And as a matter of fact, in his conversation, he would say, oh, and so what church do you go to? Can you imagine doing that? Oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, yeah. And what church do you go to? How do you think that goes in a conversation? He'd actually given some thought to it. You know, he tried to proclaim Christ with all wisdom. He opened his home up and his family up to me and others. I got to know his kids like they were, well, I didn't have any kids back then, but like they were my own. He had us around for meals. You know, he'd open the Bible up. He got me to buy a Bible for my brother so that he might be interested in coming to church. I think he looked at me and thought, you know what this bloke needs? Christ in him. The hope of glory. I'd better work hard to tell him about Jesus. Friends, you know, when our faith is in Christ Jesus, Christ is in us. It's better than a shower after you've dug a post hole in the backyard. You're washed clean. You feel new. You're right. You've got the hope of glory. How good is that? That's what we can proclaim to each other. And that's what our world needs to hear as well. I must confess that I've let this slip in my life. My gospel work ethic hasn't been good. It's easy to talk to you guys about Jesus. That's what you come here for every week. I guess you could say I've become an evangelistic dole bludger. Like I rest on the couch of God's grace, right? I put my feet up on the footstool of God's mercy and I just enjoy the comfort. But a better response to what God's given me would be to look around and see potential in people, and to actually strenuously work with all the strength that Christ gives me to present Christ to them. So I actually feel convicted by this passage. I felt convicted earlier in the week, and I still do today. Sometimes it doesn't last more than a day. But I want to stimulate myself to work hard for the gospel. And so when I first became a Christian, I got a book called Know and Tell the Gospel by a guy named John Chapman to teach myself the basics of the gospel really clearly so I could then go and talk to others about it. That's like 20 years ago. So I rang my brother through the week because he's a bit of an evangelistic zealot. And I said, mate, what can I read? And he said, there's a book called Honest Evangelism, How to Talk About Jesus Even When It's Tough. It's by a guy named Rico Tice. I love Rico Tice because he does Christianity Explored. And the book's, I think it's like 105 pages, which is about 5 pages over my reading limit. But I'm assuming that'll include like the contents and stuff. So I'm going to order it tomorrow. Honest Evangelism. I love the way he's real in Christianity Explored and his discussion about Jesus. I'm going to read it because I want to stimulate myself to get off the couch and actually talk about Jesus. I'm getting another book called Tricky, which is going to help me to understand the mind of youth, right? Because it's designed to answer tough questions that high schoolers have about Jesus. That's only 84 pages, so that's well in it. If you want me to get one of those for you, I'd love to, you know, add your name to my list. I wonder if you'd buy books that explain the gospel to share with your friends, like my mate did. You know, would you have a supply in your library? Those bags at the back that we give newcomers, they have a little book in them called The Essential Jesus, or some other version of that. You can just take one of those any time and say, hey, do you want to read this to your friends? Would you ask someone if they'd consider reading part of the Bible with you? Would you ask Chris or me or Simon or Sarah if we know any good books to give to my mate who's a Catholic or to my mate who's a Muslim? Because it's really easy for us to find resources for that. Would you invite somebody around to your house for dinner? You know, when you look at the news today, would you think of two conversations you could have that might point people to Jesus related to that news? When you think about school tomorrow, right, I know every school student or university student, except for my middle child, knows what subjects they have during the day. My middle child, Billy, he just puts every single book he has in his bag and takes it all week to school. But would you look at the classes you've got on during the day and go, well, who am I going to see in this class? Who am I going to sit next to? How can I actually help them? How can I use that opportunity to present Christ to these people, because they've got potential. Friends, if our faith is in Jesus, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. But there are so many people in Townsville who have the potential to have that too. And we don't want to be gospel dull bludgers, do we? We want to be hard workers. This is a sobering challenge for me. And I suspect it is for a lot of us here. So let's pray and ask God to help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've had revealed to us the mystery that's been hidden for ages past. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's such a comfort for us, Lord. But Lord, we pray we would take that message and strenuously contend with all the energy Christ works in us to present people fully mature in you. Help us, we pray, Lord, because our inclination is to lethargy and laziness. So strengthen us now by your Spirit through your word. To work hard for your sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.